Radio Prague News.
The Jewish community say expressions of anti-Semitism are growing in the Czech Republic, mainly on the internet. The trial of a Prague businessman involved in a hit-and-run incident will begin in July. And the Czech president is due to make a two-day visit to Poland at the end of next week. The Czech Republic's Jewish community says expressions of anti-Semitism are growing in the country, mainly on the internet. In an annual report, the community attributed the increase to rising tensions in the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, the pro-Israeli stance of the Czech government, and the fact that Jan Fischer, who is Jewish, stood in presidential elections. However, the report said that anti-Semitism was not common in the Czech Republic and that the number of physical incidents hadn't increased on recent years. An official said a controversial government bill to return property to churches had also contributed to antipathy towards Jews. Opponents of church restitution say they'll write to Pope Francis to ask him to prevent the return of previously nationalized property to the Czech Roman Catholic Church. The group behind the move, which includes writer Lenka Procházková and documentary maker Václav Dvořák, say they want to get more signatories, effectively turning it into a petition, before sending their letter to Rome. Stop Church Restitution say the return of the property has split Czech society and intensified the despair of the country's poorest. Around 75 billion crowns in property or financial compensation is being returned to a number of churches. The trial of influential Prague businessman Roman Janošek on a charge of attempted murder will begin in July, Lidové noviny reported on Tuesday. Judge Tomáš Kubovec told the newspaper he would allow the media to be present in court for what's likely to be one of the most closely watched cases of the year in the Czech Republic. The Czech president, Miloš Zeman, is due to make a two-day visit to Poland at the end of next week, continuing a series of visits to neighbouring states. Mr. Zeman will have a meeting with his Polish counterpart, Bronisław Komorowski, on a trip that comes hot on the heels of a visit to Warsaw by the Czech Prime Minister, Petr Nečas. Union leaders and representatives of the Czech Republic's spas have demanded an immediate halt to changes in the system of spa treatment. They say the very existence of the country's spas has been threatened by a shortening of the average length of stays and a marked reduction in payment for treatment by health insurers. Doctors have reportedly become afraid to prescribe spa care, even in cases where they're still able to do so. The unions and spa owners have called for a meeting with the Minister of Health to address the problem. Czech ice hockey players David Krejci and Jaromír Jágr contributed to a remarkable turnaround for their club Boston Bruins on Monday. Their assists led to a goal that tied a key NHL game with less than a minute remaining. Boston, who had been losing 1-4, went on to beat Toronto in overtime and in so doing take their playoff first round 4-3. And the weather now, it should be quite sunny in the next couple of days, with temperatures reaching a maximum of 23 degrees Celsius. My name is Ian Willoughby. You'll find many more stories at radio.cz. But for now, that's the end of the news.
Hello, you're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech Radio. My name is Masha Walensky. Coming up on our program, Czech towns are fighting to protect especially their older residents against aggressive practices of door-to-door salespeople. And the most famous Czech classical musical festival, the Prague Spring, has begun this week. Later in today's InFocus, we'll look at Czech's approach to charitable giving and what local NGOs have to do to attract donors. These stories are coming up, so do stay with us. Given the growing number of salesmen who abuse the trust of elderly people in their homes and force them into highly disadvantageous contracts, many Czech towns and cities are taking matter into their own hands and banning door-to-door sales altogether in order to protect their citizens. While door-to-door salespeople are threatening to take the matter to court, the inhabitants of these towns have welcomed the move. Daniela Lazarova has more.
The number of door-to-door salespeople has soared in recent years, and with them the number of duped seniors who turn to the police or local administration for help after signing disadvantageous sales contracts. The problem has been getting nationwide coverage and has become so serious that many towns and cities have taken measures to protect their elderly citizens by banning door-to-door sales outright. Over 20 towns have banned or severely restricted door-to-door sales, and many others are considering the move. The mayor of Miletín, Miroslav Nosek, says he made the decision after getting inundated by complaints from the public, and he's now ready to get involved in person.
Anytime people are harassed by these salespersons, they can call my number, and I'll come right over and deal with the problem. I may come over with the police. Elderly people are extremely vulnerable, and these salespeople have been specially trained to talk them into buying. They're extremely brazen and have no trouble invading people's homes.
Gradually, salespeople are being ordered off more town premises. Frídek Místek, Jablonec nad Nisou, Sušice, Hodonín and Dobříš are just some of the towns that have banned door-to-door sales. Some have gone even further, banning salespeople from accosting people in the street to offer their wares. The town of Most, which has also banned door-to-door sales, says its officers were ready to testify a rise in aggressive behavior towards the elderly. And a police officer from Břeclav says that he himself had trouble turning away a door-to-door salesman from his doorstep, even after a ban was put in place.
This door-to-door salesman tried to convince me to buy whatever he was selling. So I told him I was a local police officer and it wasn't allowed. He looked somewhat taken aback, but he still made another sales pitch before leaving.
Companies which specialize in door-to-door sales are outraged by the bans, threatening to take the matter to court on the grounds that the towns in question are violating their business rights. However, the respective mayors are not worried, saying they have the weight of public opinion behind them and numerous cases of abuse to serve in their defense. In the town of Litvinov, which has also banned door-to-door sales, you would be hard put to find a citizen critical of the decision.
I totally agree with the decision. People can buy what they need in brick and mortar shops.
It's a good move. I myself was duped twice by these salespeople.
It's the right decision. There's no two minds about it.
There's also been a wave of criticism against the so-called demonstration excursions, trips on which elderly people are often abused and manipulated into buying overpriced products. Since the airing of a documentary called Crooks brought to light what goes on at these trips, the Czech Trade Inspection has swung into action, issuing fines and organizing self-defense courses for the elderly. The Trade Ministry is even considering plans to establish a consumer ombudsman in every region who would help the victims of unruly sales practices.
That was Daniela Lazarova. The 68th annual Prague Spring International Music Festival began on Sunday with Bedřich Smetana's Má vlast at Prague's Municipal House and is continuing with high-profile events until the beginning of June. This week alone, viewers will be able to attend the finale of the Prague Spring International Music Competition, the Giacomo Variations featuring American actor John Malkovich, and a performance by Czech violin virtuoso Josef Špaček. Jan Wellinger has the details.
¶¶
The Prague Spring International Music Festival, in its 68th season, remains one of the most important events in the Czech cultural calendar. Interest is always high, and tickets quickly sell out. Roughly one-third are already gone, but of course many main events are sold out. That was the case with the opening concert on Sunday, which featured My Country. That was despite the fact that the tickets were among the most expensive, costing as much as 3,900 crowns. That's the equivalent of around $145. And the head of the festival, Roman Bielor, said this.
The first concert of the festival is a major social event, and you could say we almost try and scare people off with the price, to motivate them to go instead to the second performance of My Country, which is far less expensive.
That concert takes place on Tuesday evening and will be performed by the visiting Orchestre Philharmonique de Radio France. Tuesday will also see the final of the Prague Spring International Music Competition, featuring music on the pipe organ at the Municipal House, an instrument which was completely restored in Germany. Festival head Roman Bielor again.
The instrument is in excellent shape and was fixed with original elements intact. Damage that it suffered since 1914 was repaired, and it's one of the best instruments of its kind in the Czech Republic.
Fans of American actor John Malkovich, meanwhile, whose career includes unforgettable roles in Dangerous Liaisons and in The Line of Fire, will be able to see him as Casanova on Wednesday, May the 15th, in the Giacomo Variations, a fusion of opera and orchestra. Here's a clip.
Oh, you think this is funny, beauty? Well, you've certainly got a sense of humor, but you've got it all wrong. Au contraire, this is no fun at all. This is my life, or what remains of my life.
No fun at all, says John Malkovich in that performance of the Giacomo Variations. Also this week at the Prague Spring International Music Festival, there it will be a performance by violin virtuoso Josef Špaček, concertmaster with the Czech Philharmonic, who we featured as a guest recently on Radio Prague. And here's what the audience can look forward to.
I'm going to kick off the program with Bach Chaconne. Then we will hear a Mozart sonata. There will be a piece by my contemporary, and his name is Chris Rogerson, and he wrote a piece called Lullaby, so we'll hear that. And there's going to be a piece by Izai called Etude in a Form of Waltz. And in the second half, we'll hear a solo sonata by Prokofiev, and the last piece on the program is by Saint-Saëns, and it's a sonata in D minor for violin and piano.
So that is just a taste of what is happening this year. You can find the full program easily at the festival's website online. And the festival will wrap up on June the 2nd with a closing concert featuring music by Dvořák and Suk and also Stravinsky, fittingly enough, The Rite of Spring.
Was Jan Wellinger reporting on this year's Prague Spring Festival. A reminder that you're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. Over the past two decades, philanthropy has become an important part of Czech society, with many people being increasingly generous when giving to charity. But has the global financial crisis made a difference in charitable giving in this country? For this In Focus, which first aired in January, I took a closer look at how the gloomy economic climate is affecting Czech philanthropy and how the donor culture in general has developed. Czechs are often seen through a post-communist lens as skeptical about charitable giving, suspicious of non-profit organizations, believing that people should help themselves or that, at the worst, the state should help those in need. But the statistics available and the experience of experts in the field show that this may be pretty far from the truth. The total volume of charitable giving in the Czech Republic has doubled in the past decade or so. It was increasing steadily for about 10 years before 2008, when economic uncertainty may have played a role in a slight decrease or simply stagnation. But Jan Kroupa from the Czech Fundraising Center, which helps NGOs develop strategies for attracting donors, says the crisis has not had a large impact on the overall volume of giving in the past couple of years.
In 2010 and 2011, individual giving has been on a rise again. And last year, it grew by between 5 to 6%, largely due to increase in corporate giving, which was the fastest growing in the past 2 years, surprisingly. Corporate giving grew almost by 11% in 2011.
In the Czech Republic, where the culture of giving to charities and nonprofit organizations does not have a long tradition, the makeup of the donor pool is somewhat unconventional. Whereas in countries like the United States or the UK, 80% of all the charitable gifts are made by the richest 5% of the population, the Czech Republic's super-rich contribute only one-third of all the financial gifts. The remaining two-thirds are donors from medium and low-income brackets, and almost half of the donors within the lowest income are pensioners. I asked Mr. Kroupa about what charitable causes appeal most to Czechs and what they would rarely give money for.
Czechs generally don't necessarily like to, or let's say not mature enough donors to support complicated or controversial causes, such as the Roma issues or other more difficult to understand issues such as watchdogs or think tanks. So what the mass donor likes, probably just like pretty much anywhere else, children with disabilities and animals would be the best liked items to be supported. Czechs are very generous in crisis, more so comparatively speaking than most other Central European countries, including Germany. For instance, so during the Haiti crisis or Pakistan earthquake or other major emergencies, Czechs have been very, very generous.
In general, this country has not really reached the same level of the number of donors or the amounts given as in most Western European countries. Although things are most certainly improving, Jan Kroupa sees this more as a problem of the organization seeking donations rather than the donors themselves.
I would say that the biggest obstacle for Czechs to give is that they're not asked enough and they're not asked well enough. The amount of fundraising activities is still relatively low compared to other countries with, let's say, uninterrupted and traditional philanthropic giving. Compared to other Central European countries, Czechs are relatively very generous. And I think the major obstacle in increasing fundraising is that Czech charities are not active enough in their fundraising.
There are hundreds of charities currently functioning in the Czech Republic, providing support to a vast variety of causes. Some of them have staff members dedicated to fundraising, but many smaller NGOs just cannot afford to hire an extra person or struggle to find skilled fundraising experts who would work for a nonprofit salary. So why hasn't the nonprofit sector developed the needed infrastructure and skills to effectively raise money from donations? Jan Kroupa sees the roots of the problem in the early post-communist days of this country.
The Czech NGO sector was sort of kickstarted by, in the 90s, was sort of kickstarted by large, primarily U.S. And Western private foundations. So in the 90s, we were sort of, to a degree, we were spoiled by quite easily accessible grants, mostly from large private foundations. Relatively soon, they were leaving the country. Towards the end of the 90s, there was almost no one here. But they have taught Czech NGOs to write grants and be very good at that. And even though already as early as 1995, 1996, 1997, they kept telling us, you know, you should learn to work with your constituencies, develop your donors, and be more active in your fundraising because we're going to go soon. So as long as Czech NGOs had the opportunity to write a grant and receive relatively easy and relatively large money, you know, who would bother fundraising? And their departure more or less coincided and overlapped with the pre-accession funds to the European Union. So Czech NGOs swapped, and we were never forced to actually, you know, face the fact that in the long run, we're going to have to go out and ask for support from the public and from our constituencies.
The European funds, Jan points out, will end very soon as the EU cuts back on structural funding. The big challenge for Czech NGOs is now to attract a much greater number of large donors. Although there are many individuals who may be persuaded to open up their pocketbooks for a good cause, the most effective way to get large donations is to approach companies. Corporate giving is a growing trend all over the world, and the Czech Republic is no different. In fact, Pavlína Kalousová, who works for the Czech Association of Socially Conscious Companies, called Business for Society, told me that this area has seen vast changes in the past decade.
There has been enormous evolution in the area of corporate giving, and this is connected with the fact that more and more companies are looking into and integrating the general CSR, the corporate social responsibility approach, into their business. And actually, the big companies, they are looking more and more into the synergy between their corporate strategy and the area they are supporting. And sort of the biggest sort of mental change has been that the employees of the companies start to be engaged through corporate volunteering and through the employee engagement program.
In foreign-owned companies operating in the Czech Republic, the CSR strategy is usually dictated from the mother company. But for local businesses, the initiative of the employees is often the first and main building block for greater engagement and charitable giving.
People want to work in a company that is responsible, that gives them opportunity to engage in the community, but also the customers more and more are looking into where do the products that they buy come from, and if the company that is producing them is active in CSR and behaving responsibly.
Corporate giving in this country also seems to have been almost crisis-free in the past few years. Ms. Kalousová has only seen more cautious decisions from companies in the past few months.
In the last half year, I see some kind of nervosity on the side of the corporate sector, that they don't know what kind of economic situation is coming to our country. So we see not decreasing number of companies that are giving out money to the community, but we see decreasing amounts that each company individually invests into a good cause. We try to motivate companies that it's not only about money, it's also about their general approach towards business, and they can also compensate the non-profit sector, for example, in the form of the time of their employees, or pro bono services, or in-kind donations. But there are also new ways like that. They can purchase products from handicap that are produced in non-profit organizations.
Supplementing the decrease in financial support with volunteering time or services has been a growing trend in the past 5 years. Many companies have also begun building their social responsibility models on, somewhat cynically, what they need to successfully do their business. The benefits are, of course, not only for them, but hopefully for the society as a whole.
The companies, they're looking into areas that they can support that are somehow close to their business strategy or corporate culture. They are supporting more and more projects in the area of education and cooperation with schools and universities in order to support the potential talent. Or they are investing into water conservation projects, for example, or prevention programs or projects in financial education when you talk about banks, for example. So more and more strategic giving and strategic CSR is connected with the character of the company and the area where the company is active.
Pavlína Kalousová's outlook on the efforts of nonprofits are less gloomy than Jan Kropa's, and she offered other concrete ways that charities could work on attracting corporate donors.
Nonprofit organizations should look more closely into the priorities that the companies have in the area of HR. It is, for example, the women leadership, work-life balance. In the area of environmental protection, this is like CO2 emissions, energy savings. It doesn't have to necessarily be only asking companies for money, but offering partnerships or offering their expertise to companies, which can be used in developing the corporate social responsibility as such in the Czech Republic.
Larger companies like Vodafone, O2, or some banks have also partially adjusted to the NGO focus on grants, offering fellowships for new socially conscious projects in communities. But developing better donor relations is an inevitability for most Czech NGOs. The nonprofit sector and civil society in general in this country has grown by leaps and bounds in the past two decades, and economic woes have not seemed to decrease the amount of interest individuals and companies have in giving to a good cause. And this In Focus report does bring us to the end of today's program. We're always happy to read your comments or any questions you may have, so do email them to us. Our email address is english@radio.cz. But before we go, I also have a special announcement. This Saturday, May 18th, Radio Prague will be airing its special program for the 90th anniversary of Czech Radio on shortwave, just this once. But for those of you who do not have shortwave receivers, no worries, this anniversary special will be available online just as all of our other programs. So that's all from me and from all of us here at Radio Prague. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm Masha Linsky, and I hope you will tune into our program tomorrow. Goodbye for now.